Madam and Abba, side lessons from the late Parshas Toldos. Rosh Chodesh of Alein Lutov this week, Kislev. I don't know, to me, the holiday season now is in the air. There's only 30 days, less than 30 days, shopping season until Hanukkah. I'm just saying, your Rebbe that doesn't get paid would be probably somebody you should buy something, not just a cozier, or maybe a nice safe or something. I'm just saying, I'm just whatever. I'll tell you where I'm registered. We continue our quest for inspiration, which in Mirtzah Hashem I'll try to do today with our lessons from the Leiv, but more importantly, I want to dedicate these shirim to not chas v'shalom that we've forgotten. We don't forget our cholim, but I have specific cholim that I'm davening for. Miriam Yutel Bas Rachel, Simcha ben Bela Gittel, and unfortunately a new chola, very, very sad, one of my, somebody that my son went to camp with, who unfortunately has cancer, a very, very sad, very young boy, Akiva Noam ben Yael Chana, the Rabbanu Shalom Shesedna, all, Refuah Shleim Besoch, Shaar Chola Yisrael, especially our cholim, on the Aliday, these Hamas, Nazi, ISIS people, all worse than all that. Hashem should give chizuk to their families. Hashem should be chizuk to the families of the hostages. And Mirtzah Hashem, we should be zoicha to see them released. We should be zoicha to also continue davening and see a safe return for all of our chayalim, ha'omdim ha'mishmar etzenu, including all of our lev l'chayal guys, our family members, including my son Yaakov Chaim Bitzar Rivka. We should only see b'soris tov to all the klal Yisrael. The pasuk in the parasha tells us, "Vayitar Yitzchak la'Hashem l'noach ishto." Ki akara he. Yitzchak davens for his wife because she's barren. And we know that all the Imos were not able to have children. It was not an easy thing for them. A few years ago, we had a discussion about the idea of why him, Tzadik ben Tzadik, Rashi says. But I want to go in a different kivan today. And I think in a bit important kivan. And that's the Gevor and Yevamos. Gevor and Yevamos, if I may, is a little bit surprising. Because it tells us of the following thing. It says that Yitzchak Avinu himself was an akor. Right? Very interesting. I always learned in my history that they were akarot, the women were. It says, no, that the men were. And that maybe makes sense why it took them so long to have children, because they couldn't have children initially. Maybe, I don't know, I ask this question in my mind all the time. If Yitzchak was 30-something years old, when he had a Kedus Yitzchak, why wasn't he married yet? What's going on? He knew he was an Akar, so he knew that he had some time. Akor Haya, as Avram was as well. Damar Rav Chia, Amar Rav Yochanan, Lama Nimu Shevisal Yisrael Kedei L'chayech, or something fine. So, then it says, then it quotes our Pasuk, that Rabbi Yitzchak says, Yitzchak, Avinu, Akor Haya. Shedema Vayatar Yitzchak. It was him, Lashem Lenoach Ishto, Al Ishto Lo Nehmar, Elonoach Melameh, that he was Akarav, a Yatar. He had a daven. And therefore it says, this is Rashi quotes, Doim Tzadik ben Tzadik, his feeling was answered because he was Tzadik ben Tzadik, Tzadik ben Rasha. And then famously, Amar Ravi, Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Misavet Tfilosim Shel Tzadikim. And the reason why they couldn't have children for so long is because Hashem loves the Tfilah of Tzadikim. So this I have to understand. We want to understand, and this is a beautiful idea from the great Rav Avram Palm, the Rosh Hashiva of Torah Vadas, which says his Divrei Torah is gorgeous. Rav Shalom Smith has a series of different Torah. This is the one that I always stayed fast to, is the pleasant way. I always find it to be, like, every time I open it up, it has a beautiful, beautiful, amazing word. So he says the following thing. One could explain that the reason why the Avos were barren is compared to the following mashal. A person's digging a new well. At first, only thick black mud comes from the newly dug well. With time, the water becomes less and less muddy as the impurities are filtered out. And finally, the water comes forth, right? What happens? We are in a situation where we have a well, you know, and I'm trying to dig for water. In the beginning, it becomes frustrating, very, very frustrating, right? Dirt, dirt, dirt. You've, I'm sure, worked on jobs before. You're trying to do something, and it doesn't go, doesn't go, doesn't go. And then finally, it works. So too, the Avos. Hashem decides that Avram would be the founder of a righteous nation. But he wanted the wicked specifically, Bali Avodah Zarah, his ancestors, to have no effect on the purity of the Jewish people. The only way to assure that is to pull out the old well, and this is obviously going to be very interesting, because if you know Beirut Yitzchak, Yitzchak spends all this time digging wells of his father, and many people wonder why he spent so many psukim telling us about this, so maybe this is that analogy. Yitzchak was very much influenced by his father's chesed, and every time they dug a well, what happened? The plishtim came and they put dirt over it. They didn't want people to have the chesed of people walking and have a drink. I don't know if you've seen this before, but in different streets here, when you're walking, if chas v'shalom, you're walking up to see the girls in Tiferet, so there's like water stations. People spent all their money, and they put out a nice water thing. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful mitzvah. Not necessarily a mitzvah to go to see, little fountain of water. So you can get drinks and stuff like that. So too, if you wanted to take out the wicked, the only way to stop is you have to start with the polluted well and dig a new one. Thus Avram, Sarah, Yitzchak, Rivka, Rachel were naturally akarot, barren, so that all their children came from a miraculous nature. The wicked effect of the of who they came from would be negated because it was cleaned out. It was purified. It's true that this cleansing process isn't perfect, because look what happened. Avram gave birth to Yishmael, Yitzhak to Esav. It was finally Yaakov in the last generation who had what we call the Shiftei Ka, the Shvatim of the Ribbono Shelam, the total righteous family of 12 sons, which become the basis of our Jewish nation. Right? Each of us may not know where we're from, but each of us come from one of these Shvatim. Right? My family tradition is that we're from Shevet Yehuda. Mirtz Hashem will be a zeichet to be a melech one day. No, okay, maybe one of my kids. But we're from Shevet Yehuda. Some people know, some people don't. There's, you know, I don't know if this is true. The Ethiopians come from Shevet Dan. I don't know. But we all come from the Shiftei Ka. That's why, by the way, there was this whole fight, not so many parshios from now, about Yosef. They thought Yosef was the Yishmael. Yosef was the Esav. There's got to be one bad apple, because that's what the tradition was. No, it was Yaakov who dug that well, finally purified it, based on what his father and forefathers had done, his father and grandfather. That would explain why the Avos weren't able to have children. But what does this Gemara here in Yevamos teach us? Mis'ava tefilas tzadikim. What does that mean? It almost seems like I had to make you this way. I had to put you in this difficult situation because I wanted you to daven for me. So obviously, we have to go basic. We have to go back and ask the basic question is, what is the purpose of tefillah? Doesn't Hashem know what we need? Why am I davening for it? I'm sorry to be real, but he doesn't know that we want the hostages to be freed. He doesn't know that my son should be protected, that all the soldiers should be protected. He doesn't know that I want a refuah for all the chaylim. So Rapam quotes the Rosh Hashiva, one of the former Rosh Hashivas of Torah Vadas, of Shmuel Kusholowitz, who says the following. The purpose of tefillah is to purify and elevate the person, to make him worthy to receive bracha from the Ribbono Shel Olam. In my quest to be Mevatel Torah, sometimes I realize that this is a big challenge. Motzei Shabbos, I don't know, Shabbos ends at 5:21. So you have a big challenge not to be on your phone for long. I tried, I prepared this year, but I was watching some stupidity stuff, I'll admit. And there was some debate, I don't know what it was exactly. I limit myself to 1 minute shorts, you know? So I don't really know, so you only get in the middle. And they said, oh, it was Dennis Prager. And a lot of other people, what's his name, Peterson guy, and they said, you're the religious one here. Does v'haftel reicha kamod, does Hashem mean that Hashem loves every individual equally? Which is, of course, going to be a big ethical dilemma. He loves Hamas. So he said beautifully, it seems a good word. I'm sure it comes from somewhere. No. Hashem, quote unquote, you have the ability for Hashem to love you equally, every single person here. But Hashem loves people more who are oyved him in the appropriate way. Hashem's going to love more those that follow his ways. And he's going to hate those that don't. That's what tefillah, I think, is. I think that's what we're saying over here. Some people don't like this vort, but I heard this vort many years ago from Rabbi, I think it was Rabbi Aaron. And he said that the word for tefillah is lehit palel. One of the biggest, this I agree with wholeheartedly. What is the universal emoji for tefillah? Right, what is that? What is that? What is that? In other words, what is that? But what is that? What is it? This is pleading, begging. That's Christianity. One of our biggest fallacies is that we think that it's pleading with God. Praying, the word prayer, right, is a form of begging. And that we feel that if we beg long enough, we beg, then right, lahavdil a parent. Can I have ice cream? No. Can I have ice cream? No. Can I have ice cream? No. At some point, if you're a bad parent, you're like, shush already. I won't say shush, but okay. Shush already. I'll give you ice cream. Ah, I won. That's not tefillah. The purpose of tefillah is lehit palel. Lehit palel is like lehit labish. Right? It does something to you. It's not doing something to the Rabbanu Shalom. It's making you into a better person. That's the purpose of tefillah. I understand Rav Soloveitchik says differently, but okay. A person completely removes himself from earthly trappings. Therefore, I think it's absolutely ridiculous. This is not what he says. I'm saying it. If somebody davens from their phone, it's like mamash tata desasre. The purpose of tefillah is to take me away from this world. Put me in a different world. Yes, that's why we have something. It's antiquated. It's called a sinner. And that's why, yes, I should be zoicha to follow what I'm about to say. Our phones should not be near us during tefillah. Because I want to put myself in a different world. Remove myself. As the Rosh Hashiva writes, "Hit pashtut haguf, v'hish pachot ha-nefesh." If you want to open up the nefesh, how? Tveikus gemura ba'kadosh baruch ha-mamalei ha-mamalei. Call almin v'saviv alamin lesle. The less trappings I have, the closer I can get to him. That's obviously one of the reasons why we have Shabbos. Shabbos is called Ne'ein Olam Haba. Why? We don't have the trappings of earthly things. We are not allowed to be on our phones. We're not allowed to watch TV. We're not allowed to turn lights on. We're not allowed to, right? There's nothing. It's not because, it's the sensation of Malacha that says, God, you created the world. This is the ultimate. When we just spend time with you and there's nothing else. That's what tefillah is supposed to be. When we do this, we feel Hashem's presence in the world. How can we attain this level? So the Gemara in Bracha says something very difficult. I'm sure you've all questioned. The Gemara says in Daf Lamed, Black Amud Beis, says that the Hasidim HaRishonim, they would prepare themselves for a Shal of Nei Tefillah. Three times a day. That's a lot of time, Rabbi Isai. Even you guys, you know, Kol HaBoker, 7:30 in the morning, you know. Okay. But at least come by 7:45. Never heard a bigger joke in my life. So, what does this mean? Why would they prepare themselves for an hour? That's what it took them, to take away all the earthly pleasures. The speaking in front of Malchi, Malchi, Malchi. It's true, the Magen Avraham Paskins, Tzad Gimel. Nowadays, we don't need as much time. The amount of time it takes us to work 8 cubits, a few minutes. But let's be honest. Who even takes a few minutes before davening? Who shows up to davening earlier than they should? Normally we come there, you're like, oh, perfect, they're on Ashrei already. Yes. And you're like, oh, challenge accepted. I can put my tefillin on and get to Yishtabach by the time they get. Yeah, I'll do that. We don't prepare ourselves for tefillah. We don't give it a fighting chance. This is a terrible thing. We put on the automatic tape recorder, as we've said before, and sometimes when it's not appropriate, when it's Friday night, what do? A little Slach Lanu action. And it's Friday night. Because we're so not ingrained in tefillah, we don't even... Oops! No. I was scratching. I swear, I was scared of scratching. Rosh Chodesh is this week. How many of us are going to forget Yalav Yalva? Why? Because this is the way. Blah, 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 blah. We don't know what we're saying. It's a famous story about a Hasidish Rebbe. And after davening, they went to the Rebbe and they said, Rebbe, I forgot the halacha, I apologize. I forgot Yalav Yalva and Meiriv. Do you repeat it or not? He says, I don't understand your question. He says, Meiriv, we just daven Meiriv now. I forgot Yalav Yalva. It's a pretty simple question. Because I don't understand your question. This goes on for like, you know, a few minutes. Finally, the Rebbe says, I don't understand how you could forget Yalav Yalva. You're here for davening. How did you? You knew it was Rosh Chodesh. How did you forget? Right? With all the Yalav Yalva, you know, a million times people smashing his head, still didn't remember. Even the guy next to me, who you know, in the middle of his Shemona Esrei, goes Yalav Yalva. I'm like, oh, okay, dude, calm down. I still forgot. That really bothered me. Like, I forgot all the signs were there. This guy holding up a sign, Yalav Yalva, still forgot. It's unfortunate. We know that if it was any other, if it was a job interview, I would get up early, I would prepare myself, I would look over the questions. If God forbid I had to testify, I would prepare myself, I would make sure I know what I'm saying. Yet, to communicate with the Ribbono Shel Olam, no prerequisites, just go right there. Yes, and you're going to give the excuse. We daven three times a day, Rabbi. We're so close to Hashem. That's why. No. Those great rabbis also daven three times a day and spent an hour. Because they realized that it was a lifetime opportunity. And they did not want to squander it away and neglect it. Okay. Shkoyach. You have to prepare for tefillah. So I ask you, why do you have to prepare for an hour tefillah? Why an hour? So I quote you the words of the Nefesh HaChaim. So the Nefesh HaChaim says, oh, Perek Beis, ah, it says like this. It's Chaval. This one has, here. So, the Nefesh HaChaim, if I could find it, sorry. Explains that a person has to prepare himself for an hour before davening because reaching the level of having total erase from his mind anything of earthly pleasures, that's a proper tefillah. That's what we consider to be a proper tefillah in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let me read you the words, if I could find it, of the Nefesh HaChaim. Strange. This is a different edition. Chaval. So the Nefesh HaChaim basically says that in order for us to daven appropriately, we elevate ourselves. If it really affected us, we wouldn't just go to work afterwards. I have to need time to come back to earth. And that's why the question is, Nefesh HaChaim says, I understand you have to prepare yourself before. So we could argue, Magen Avraham, you don't need an hour. But after it says, they would spend an hour after. Why don't you need an hour after tefillah? That makes no sense. So the answer so beautifully is because I got to return to earth. I just had to travel to somewhere else. Excuse me. They tell a story about great Rabbeim who when they would daven, they were all over the place, literally. Some of them were all over the room. That shows a tremendous commitment to our tefillah. Yes, it's one of the reasons why we come back to the Ribbono Shel Olam and we say Aleinu. But there has to be something more than that. I finally found the Nefesh HaChayim. Ve'az yichshov ki'ilu hu misalik mizeh min ha'olam. V'hu b'nei aliyah l'mala. Ad she'gam ha'tfili kashelo be'od lefanot nachshavato li'inyanem b'zeh ha'olam. V'yeh be'ein ha'kilu noifel u'matpasis v'yorid mi'egre ramo l'v'roisa. And that's why the Gemara says, he says, Brachas Daf Lamed, Chasidim Rishonim, Hayushoyim Shah Achas of Neitzviyah Shem Kosov Arizal, Hatam Hazeh Kedei L'Shahot Ode. The Inyan Mamri Chazal Yevamois, Hamispal Tzoch Shiyitain Libo L'mala. Right, supposed to look up to heavens. That's true Ava, says the Nefesh HaChayim. That's what we're talking about over here. One of the examples Rav Pam gives of tefillah is, Suras HaTefillah, is that great meeting of Yitzchak and Rivka. Another parsha that makes very little sense, right? HaKol Kol Yaakov, Yadayim Deyesev of our parsha. So it's thinking of something. Somebody had a whole, an American, so I'm not speaking certainly at a turn here, but I've thought of it. They asked, why is it that the Hamas every single week have been protesting with hundreds of thousands of people, and it took the Americans 5 weeks. So he had a whole vort why. So I thought, HaKol Kol Yaakov, we needed a month to daven to the Rabbanu Shalom. We needed to learn. We needed to do all the amazing things the Americans have done and send us needed food, clothing, everything that they've been doing. I'm being serious. Then they get to the business. Obviously, people are organized, security reasons, whatever it might be. But betachlis, Rabbi Yisai, betachlis, it's important, but the tefillah came first. And we didn't have time right away to go to Washington, 100,000 people. That's what I think. I call Yaakov. Okay, then we have to have Yadayim Yadayim. Then we have to fight. Yeah. Got to daven first. So we're talking about here. So in the pasuk from last week's parasha, she saw him and she fell. Wow. Why? So we all know the famous Maimer that he was davening mincha. And it was a sight to be seen of him davening. The way he had kavanah. The Emek Dover writes, the Netziv says, Miro pachar busha, kamo shemivne she'enu roi liya islo, liisha, I'm going to marry this guy that's tzaddik. Look what he looks like. Oh my God. Me? She had this awe and pachad, seeing somebody in such a heightened state. V'lo haisa im Yitzchak kamo Sarah im Avram. It wasn't the same connection that Sarah had with Avram. V'rachel im Yaakov. Asher bios lahem eza kepeda lo busha. What did Sarah do? She fought with Avram. She says, get Yishmael out of here. Avram said, I can't. He's my son. Kick him out. I don't care. It wasn't the same with Rivka. And that's why we can understand, says Netziv, their relationship was so different because of their first meeting of seeing this was something else. So when it came time to give the brachas, why didn't Rivka speak up? The famous question. She couldn't speak up. She knew who her husband was. She knew his commitment to Tefillah and said, he must know more than I do, even though, of course, she had her own Ruach HaKodesh. She agia brachas liyakov dachav be'ofen kazeh, kasha yivcha be'makomo. Rivka kept quiet, unlike what her mother-in-law would do and what Rachel would do. Chol mi'akashuv prachas shabam mi'akadosh baruch. Rivka experienced firsthand this deep prayer, this hour before preparation, this hour after, leaving this earth. Tell a story about the great Rabbi Leib Eger. Anti-religious actors wanted to imitate him in a show that they were doing. So they came to see him so they could see his movements, and it would be very funny if they saw how he davened. And he's wrapped in a talus and tefillin, immersed in tefillah. They were so overwhelmed that they ran away. They said, we can't do this. This is a very holy man. And finally, let's try to explain what does it mean. So, okay, we learned everything. But why did he make them barren?
The Avos, the Emois.
The foundation, Maisa Avos Simon Labanim, to our righteous nation, is that tefillah works. Don't ever come to me and say, I have a bad, worse situation. You don't understand.
No, the Avos, they experience real difficulty. Esther Nisharnas of Avram Avinu, Yitzchak, Akedas Yitzchak. That's what tefillah is about. How dare you not daven for your own children, for their success. I remember Rav Shechter writing this in his tefillah thing. He said this before. He said, people ask me, why is my Shemona Esrei so long? He says, well, I happen to have, I think he has 10 children. He says, what do you think? I just make a regular tefillah that says, Hashem, please protect all my children. They should be Talmid Chacham. No, I go through each child. I happen to have more children, he said. Each of them needs something different. They're not the same, each of my children. No way.
This cute video that my kids did for me. So there was, you know, who's Abba and Mommy's favorite child? It was a cute little thing. Honestly, it's not true. All my kids are equal. But you daven for them differently. Each of them needs something else, need their own Sata D'Shemaya. That's what tefillah is. But the Nefesh HaChaim concludes with a very important idea. He quotes a pasuk from Amos. He says that when the pasuk says he recounts to a person what his deeds are, it's the power of tefillah. A lot of people think my tefillah doesn't do anything. Why should I say Tehillim? Who cares? So what? Soldiers, they're going to matter my little perek at Tehillim after davening. It's going to get this person from sick to better. It's going to find this person a job, a shidduch. The answer is yes. The sick person could have been healed. The childless person could have been answered. The person looking for a spouse could have found one. Tefillah can make a difference. But we have to believe in our tefillahs and understand that it came from the original, if I may. The OG is the Avos. The Avos were barren. The Avos had difficulty. Yes, we shouldn't believe that Judaism is a vending machine where I pay for something, very expensive something, and it comes out. Sometimes it gets stuck. Sometimes it's moved to other tefillos. I guarantee you, your tefillos are moved. And if that soldier doesn't become better, and Rachman al-Itzlan, he joins a long list of people who die al-Kiddush Hashem, that tefillah is moved to another place. The tefillah is used for something else. Mis'avu b'tefillah tzadikim. You are tzadikim. You have chosen to stay here during a war. You have chosen to be on the front lines of something else. Yes, maybe you're not able to fight. But you're in Eretz Yisrael on the front lines of tefillah and Torah. Your Torah and tefillah have to matter, and you have to be different people like you never were before. And if you weren't a big minyan goer, this is the time to be a minyan goer. If you weren't someone who was able to show up on time, you show up on time. And yes, I know lunch is so important. But you know what? It's okay. Maybe say the entire Achenekul Beis Yisrael not walking up the steps to lunch. Maybe an extra minute. We have the opportunity now here in Yeshiva to say Avinu Malkeinu. Not every shul is doing that. To me, it's a very inspiring. It means a lot to me. Number one, it shows that we're Imo Anochi Batzara. Avinu Malkeinu. Do you know what the power it is? Tomorrow, the Rabbanut HaRashit of Israel is, I don't know if we were told, they've instituted a day of tefillah. Those that are able to fast, I think everybody here could fast till Chatzos. Chatzos is like 11:40 or something. It's like really nothing because of the time change. So the Rabbanut HaRashit has asked people to do that. If it's going to affect your learning, you ask your rabbein, but I have a hard time believing that your tefillah is going to be your learning is going to be affected if you don't eat breakfast in the morning. This is a very, very important thing. And I give a lot of credit to the Rabbanut HaRashit for not instituting it last month when we were really just a few days into the war. Now the things, chas v'shalom, you know, nothing, they calm down. But we try a little bit to go back to normalcy. This is what we do. Maybe not eating a little bit will remind us. should be zeichet to understand the power of our tefillah and that we can make change. That you should believe that my power of being able to take myself out of worldly pleasures, worldly emotion, everything worldly, all the gashmias, and putting myself in that base medrash, in that makom tefillah, can literally change the state of the war that we're currently in. Right? Imagine if somebody came to you and said, you,
me?
Yeah, you. Okay, you're dominating for the Umbud now. But your power of tefillah now will determine whether or not the hostages get out. I guarantee you that tefillah would be the greatest tefillah you ever had. If you didn't daven for the Kotel in 25 years, the first time you get to the Kotel, 50 years, the first time you get, I guarantee your tefillah would be awesome that time. We're spoiled, so we go to the Kotel all the time, and we're our minds are you know, guys collecting stucker, somebody else is this, that. I understand. But that's the way tefillah is supposed to be. It's my opportunity. If I could just say just one more thing. I know for those that are listening, I've gone way over my normal allotment. Ooh, wow, way over. One more thing. Keep in mind that there are people who are not able to daven now. There are people who find themselves in Gaza, halachically they can't daven. Halachically they have no time or their time is so limited they're able to put tefillin on and that's it. I know of a person that's in Gaza now that before they went in, the mefaked had to collect all of their tefillin. He said, "I'm from. This bothers me, but we don't have room for you to. It's dangerous for you to have any siyud that you don't need. We will carry but one pair of tefillin." And it happened to me. My neighbor's pair of tefillin is the one that went into Gaza. Her father just passed away a year ago, and that's the pair of tefillin that went into Gaza. Maybe daven a little bit longer for those that are not able to have a full tefillah. I'm sorry to say it like this, but my son told me over Shabbos they find themselves in a not the greatest places in the world, in Gush, in an Arab town. And he one of his jobs on Shabbos is that he has to drive around in the Humvee, whatever, they I don't know what they're doing exactly, patrol. And he was so excited when he was able to say, oh, the way that the patrol works out, I'm able to make it so that we could park at some point. We could a little bit of a Kabbalah Shabbos that we could say together with my pluga. Do you understand what we're... Are you saying that to yourselves? Wow, I'm so excited. I could daven in an in Shabbos on Levi Torah. I know it sounds a little strange, somebody saying I'm driving to... this was all the heter, okay? So nobody should think. That's what we're talking about. Maybe spend a little bit longer for those that can't daven. Those that can't daven because they're sitting in a hospital. And they're not able to daven. Those who are not with us anymore, we're not able to daven. We should be zeichet to see only b'sarius tovus yeshuas v'nachamos. Rabbanu Shalom, please bring Mashiach Tzidkenu for all the great that is happening in this wonderful country. All the achdus that we see. We are fighting l'mancha Elokeinu. Should we zoichet see besoris tovus Yeshua's for nachamas bias gold tzadik lehiru yameinu amen.